How's it going? And you're very welcome along to the football pod. Sunday night, the start of May. We know all the provincial finalists. We know who's in pot two. We know who's in the Tatchell Cup. James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews, you both turned up on a bank holiday Sunday. You're taking it easy this evening, boys, are you?
Hey, absolutely. Jimmy looks pretty good there. He looks like he's ready to go. He's doing this, getting all your obligations on, complete before going on the absolute piss and clarity. Good man.
Couple of handy points. Legion got another point in the county league this weekend, so we have to celebrate the small.
That is fair, yeah.
Small things.
They all count. They all count. Beautiful.
Were you playing?
No. Next week, no. Oh, the next game, I'm hoping to be back then for the rest of the year. So still 5 league games. That's still a full season, like 5 league games. An intermediate championship and no Dunhill Cup. And I've missed a lot already. Do you know? There's so much football down here.
This is what Jack O'Connor's giving out about, Jimmy. This is what Jack O'Connor, every time he speaks to the media, when he's not having a go at Tommy, he's giving out about there's too much club football going on in Kerry.
No one listens to Tommy. Tommy's actually getting very sensitive. And Tommy has a following as well that are very sensitive to Tommy. Do you notice that? Because there was a few people a little bit upset about Tommy. Tommy got a bit tired last week. Do you remember? It's talking about the screening.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was late though. I could get cranky tonight myself, lads. You know, we're all very busy though, aren't we? Tommy was in Ennis, double job on today.
Didn't leave him off the hook either.
No.
So, Tommy, I'm sorry. I was surprised to see you today. To be honest, I thought that you might.
Well, you thought what? I duck you, I dive you, like you did to my questions last week. pulling down the curtain. And I think you relinquished your responsibilities, boys. I think you went back into the dressing room last week, and that's not something that I've taught you
On what point?
Just because we disagree with you doesn't mean that.
Well, you didn't.
Is this still on the screen thing?
No, I never brought up the screen, and James brought it up. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's not go back there.
Just a quick, like Sunday night slap. We're all of a certain age, like, and RTE get a lot of flack, don't they, right? But I do love in the summer, they have the Sunday game on, and straight away after, there's an old James Bond on.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Was it Roger Moore when this
was? No, Connery still. Thunderball here. Look, he's fighting away under the water. It's class, like.
There was one on earlier as well.
That's the one. It's still on.
Same one.
Yeah.
I love those old.
Probably better entertainment than the Armadale match, but it's nice, isn't it? Mm. I do like that on a Sunday evening, yeah. There you go.
Do you
want to finish? Do you want to take over, James? Where are you going now?
Where am I going this evening?
No. Where are you going with that point?
Just that you were rattled and you also were following. They're very sensitive to your emotions as well. It's nice to see. It's nice, that's all.
Lads, we're getting off on the wrong foot here. What's going on here with you two? I'm talking about James Bond and Sean Connery, and you two lads are ready to take the head off each other.
He's the same as Christina here. After half eight, or quarter past eight, there's a little shift in the old mood.
I'll be honest. It happened to me on Friday night as well. When I get tired, I got sent off on Friday night. Two yellow cards.
You did not.
Wasn't screen, was
great.
It?
No, thank God it wasn't screen. It was two very clunky.
It was the ref, Tommy. It was the ref. Come on,
very good referee. Two very clunky tackles, and I actually played all right up to that, but not great. And I got told going off the field that there were rather than anger, there was disappointment, which isn't really a great sign. So, James, you know me when I'm tired, I don't really, you know. Play ball with
you're only as good as your bullshit answers. Record.
So when I put questions to you boys today about Monaghan, Derry, and Dublin Loud, and what we had today with Kildare and Westmead and Armagh Down,
good match.
I hope you play ball.
Not a good match.
Let's just get to Monaghan and quit the rubbish. Unbelievable stuff on Saturday evening in a load of different ways. Like, we can get back to Derry in a couple of minutes and how I suppose they look quite good for 48 minutes, but Monaghan are into the Ulster final after the most outrageous ending to a game of football.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Tell me, were you following, you were in Port Leash, so you were following it, were you on GAA Plus or you followed it on Score Updates?
Watching on GAA Plus.
I wouldn't say I was alone, maybe. I wasn't really overly focused on it around 45, 50 minutes here. Like, I was kind of doing a couple of things then around the house. This was the most done game that was ever done. The first half in particular, everyone expected, like, kind of went as expected. There you get a couple of goals as well. Very classy performance. And Monaghan looked like the team that had lost all seven of their league games. And I know they got that win against Cavan. And even the start of the second half, Derry still kind of look at arm's length and they're going to cruise home here. And we should know better, the 10 or 11 points, you know, what was it, 11 points with over 50 minutes on the clock. And the two-pointers, which we haven't really seen, it's more of a January and February National League thing when there's a gale force win. But the comeback, and you see Andrew Woods, Desi Ward, McCarville gets one from midfield as well. And it just builds up Began's influence and they get the goal from Bannigan. And then it leads to that finale. Just like, did you think he'd get it? I didn't think he'd scored it.
Who? Jack McCarron?
I thought it was like too close in.
Well,
do you know, like,
Michael Foley. That was going to be my point on it, Tom. Imagine, right? This incident happens. The pitch invasion. They clear everyone off the field. The pressure on McCarron is getting bigger and bigger. He can't miss. The pressure on him was incredible.
He loves that.
He hounded the referee. Began went and chased the referee, changed his mind, brought it back. Now everyone's going, he better score this thing. And the connection, just absolutely beautiful. Because I don't think people can actually realize how much pressure was ramping up. Because you know the way the longer it takes, as soon as he knew there was going to be a chance this shot was going to happen, his heart would have started beating a little bit faster. He was like, I have to deliver here.
I think he missed a few things there, right? It wasn't Rory Began that changed the mind of the referee. It was David Garland, number 13 from Monaghan. For sure. Yeah. But David Garland, it's a very interesting part.
That's getting around, though, in the first place, lads. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's just put that out there. Like, come on.
The umpire.
the ref had blown it. That was it. Like, he was like, this is it. Like, not knowing the rules is not great. Just saying.
Well, I think it was handy that I don't think he would have listened to a player, to be honest, but David Garland has umpired and refereed in Dublin and intercounty footballer as well. I do think that was the only person to make Mooney actually turn. Absolutely. And you can even see it. He's not really listening to Began. He's saying, get away from me. And then Garland stays calm and Mooney puts the hands up and it's like you just clock with him back for the two-pointer. James, I don't trust that you're going to do me justice here when I say this, but what have I always said about Jack McCarron on the pot? Best left foot in the country. And Michael Foley from the Sunday Times was sitting beside me in Port Leash the last day and he was like, same as you boys, angle's too tight. And I just thought Jack McCarron was going to do it. He's the man for the moment in something like that.
Do you even see, Tommy, at first, before the ref blows the whistle, when it's literally just given in play, he looks like he's calling Began up. Do you see that? He's calling someone up. Before the ref even blows when Ethan Doherty, the ball goes out, McCarron grabs it and he's looking back to call someone up. So it was kind of going, is he calling Began up there? Presumably it was Began. I'm not sure who else he's going to be calling up to take that. And then obviously the commotion happens as well. And this is the beauty of the Hooter. I know it gets a lot of stick. And Monaghan had a bit of frustration last year. It was a funny goal. They played in the Ulster Championship and that thing in Clonus and they were pissed off about the Hooter. But for to all be on the line, and there's some great footage. You know, I'm not a big one for kind of fans being on the phone for the whole match, but there's some great clips going around on socials today. There's some young flip right behind Jack McCarron in the stand or on the terrace, and it's that bit like it looks so tight. Like, you're nearly better off being further out. You know, Morris Fitz is probably the most famous one. Like, but when you see the angle from behind McCarron, the margin for error with that type of shot is so small. Anyway. But like, that has to be the most perfect kick.
Yeah.
And it's not like the bit, Jimmy, you're saying about the tension building and the pressure building. Those kicks can go horribly wrong as well. If you overcommit.
The right leg can slip and then
it goes along the ground. Imagine what an anti-climax that would have been. You know, was that going through his head or not? Obviously not. But it was such an incredible moment. And then to win it, Began.
We'll come back to that. It was just to linger on it.
Deeper game of the weekend, I think.
It was young Caelan Hughes who took the video from the stand. But I got to mention Michael Canavan, who was working for Ulster GAA at the weekend. The angle he got on McCarron's shot and the video footage, did you see it even? It was similar to Clifford sprinting in at halftime of the All-Ireland final. Did you see this shot of McCarron and the kind of Desi Ward?
Yeah.
Oh, boys, this is the buzzer beater iconic moments. Like in this generation of social media and TikTok, when you got to command attention and capture the younger audience, these are the type of moments that we need in Gaelic games. And like, I'm sorry for all the bloody detractors of the Hooter and there's been a campaign to undermine it from the get-go. It's never been totally backed by HQ. They don't fully want it. They made an absolute mockery of it by not implementing it in Division 3 and 4 games, having half it on in some championship games, not in certain grounds. If it's given a chance and it's given proper investment in the next couple of years, we will get many more moments. It has to be tweaked, has to be finessed a little bit, but we will get many more moments like what Jack McCarron delivered at the weekend. Paddy, you mentioned Morris Fitzgerald.
It's brilliant.
There were shades of Conor Sweeney's outside of the left boot equaliser for Tipperary when they went on to win the Munster title. But even that was a little further back as well. It's just unbelievable.
This is the best one for me. Like, obviously, Morris's one is never going to be beaten in down here. But like in recent times, from since I was playing, I think that has got to be up there because of the sheer moment. The pushing, the begging was shouting the kids to get off the field. It was just brilliant. It just, the whole package of the incident was good.
It reminded me a little bit, but I don't know about this, but Began's role there, right, on the sideline, because Began didn't need to be there, right? Began sits on the hoarding to get a good view of it, but it was nearly like Lowry and Bettpage with McElroy. He was nearly pushing off a Derry selector. He was shushing the crowd. He was trying to settle everyone down for McCarron to just stitch it, and he did.
Mm. No, it was incredible. And like I say, it was a game that no one was really... I wouldn't say there was many people outside of those two counties really itching to watch this game to begin. Everyone was assuming that Derry would probably win this game. Monaghan's form, okay, they got the win against Cav, but they weren't in the grave. And that's why the first half kind of played out exactly like that. And it seemed like this was going to be a humdrum, like kind of what we've seen in Clonus today with Down and Armagh. And just Monaghan, it is like incredible win. I don't think they're better than Derry. Like I'm amazed they're in the Ulster final, really. I have to say that. But when the shit hit the fan with 20 minutes to go and a team without kind of the balls to go after it and the belief in themselves and Gabriel Bannigan and what that team is doing, they wouldn't come back from that game. And I know they hit 8 2-pointers and there you have serious questions to ask of just kind of just sitting back and stopping playing and thinking they've done enough, and they very nearly did, only for that moment of iconic magic from McCarron. But for Monaghan, I just have to give massive credit to him. We've played against him, Jimmy. I know maybe a different set of players. There's still some of those guys hanging around, but they're always this team, and this is not condescending, to just get absolutely squeezed the orange, get every last bit out of their players. And last night was just the latest example of that. That game was gone. They were being outplayed, outclassed all over the pitch. And yet, these guys, Jack McCarron's been around such a long time, and these guys keep standing up and keep delivering. And who would have said this 2 months ago when their own manager said, whatever we've been relegated from Division 1, we're lucky we weren't relegated to Division 3. And in the space of a month, they've pulled off these two incredible victories and they're in an Ulster final. And they'll fancy it against Armagh. Armagh haven't won one since 2008, so there's pressure on those guys going into that match, despite how good they've been. But Monaghan, to be there, it's that age-old thing, you just can't write them off. And McCarron's moment, and then Began at the end, last play. It's just like, he was definitely going to nail that as well. They're an incredible group, what they have going for them. Maybe not the best Monaghan team ever. Like I say, I think there was loads of stuff wrong with the performance for 45, 50 minutes of that match last night. But you cannot question the cojones these guys have. And the likes of Desi Ward, Conor McCarthy, these guys we keep reeling off, coming up with just 2-pointers, we're nailing it. You know, and it was a victory for the rules last night again. I know everyone loves them, but the 2-pointers, the Hooter, it just creates a drama like we've never seen before. And that's one of the games of the season that is going to be.
And Conor McCarthy's 2-pointer was was outrageous.
It was a weird technique, Jimmy, wasn't it? It was like nearly like...
It was like a full slice.
I don't know.
It was a slice technique without slicing it and just went over the full. It was just beautiful.
He did that for the club 8 months ago as well in Ulster.
Yeah, he has a great technique, obviously, with the left. But Began's impact, can't be understated as well, mm-hmm. because, or overstated, but he, obviously from the kickouts, but his presence in goals, even just him being back there, is just so important to everything about Manning. And then for the goal, when he fetches the kick out, right?
Pass, yeah.
An outfielder, I've played with a lot of outfielders that wouldn't have seen that pass, okay? Mm-hmm. And also wouldn't have delivered that pass as quickly and as accurately as he does on landing. That is not easy. It looks easy because he's of such high quality. But even just to know, I got to pluck this, stop, hit it, and then let the forward do the business. I thought it was a great bit of play. And then to come up with the winner, it's like there was never in doubt he was going to score that. He was trotting up, you know, it was like walking out the 18th another golf reference of the Masters, you know, just he was going to score it. Like, and you know, I just think he's a super, super.
Was there, like, there was no drama with Began at the end, because it was just like, he's definitely going to get this. Like,
yeah, the Derry heads were down at that stage.
They knew.
I thought his
was it Desi Baker?
No,
Dermot
Baker.
He's
going to play for free there. The forward, like, he's going to, no matter what, he wants to be fouled. He just wants that out. So it was good. So
you think he's nearly holding his hands up as it is. Do you think it just don't get involved there, particularly with Began? Just don't give the ref. Yeah.
I was thinking after. Was it just
League of Ireland reference? League of Ireland striker. You're thinking of Ollie Baker. And you're thinking of Ollie Baker's two sons who started for Westmeath today. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Ollie Baker. Jesus, yeah. It's a late night. What about Began for Lachlan's goal? First goal. Just put that.
That's a great finish.
It's not in the corner.
The open the boot. I thought I was going to say that was a magnificent, magnificent finish. He's running through, everyone thinks he's going to blast it, and he just opens up the groin and puts it into the bottom corner. I thought that was fantastic.
I don't think it was in the corner, no?
I know, but it's the disguise on it.
Began could have maybe a way to save that. It just doesn't matter. I know. Like, but it just,
I did think that was, when I saw him go through, I was like, he's going to blast this, you know, probably end up in the point. And next thing, he just put the disguise and opened up the body. I thought it was lovely attacking play. They got serious value out of that full forward line again, Derry, like, between Lachlan Murray, McGuigan, and Niall Lachlan. I don't know what they came with. They must have come in with about 215, I'd say, between the three of them.
Yeah, 214. James, they were 11 points ahead in the 44th minute at 213 to 8 points, but they had already kicked 10 wides by that stage. And we know what Monaghan do. Five of Monaghan's first six scores of the second half are two-pointers. And the energy goes with them. But Derry had kind of left them in it too, hadn't they?
They had. They missed a lot. It's hard. I wouldn't give them anything off it, but sometimes when you think the game is over in your head, even if it's not over, or maybe you don't even realize you think it's over, it just takes that 1% off you. And that's all that Monaghan needed. You know, they didn't need to do anything absolutely outrageous. They just kept chipping away. Those two-pointers got him back into it. And Derry did not have another gear to put him to the sword. If you were in that Derry dressing room, you'd be thinking, how in the name of God did we lose that game? Like, it was absolutely their game for the taking. And they just didn't put the final oomph into it. You know, they weren't able to get the last little bit of a kill in there. And Monaghan just stayed in there. And the two-pointers are so valuable, and their accuracy on them was brilliant. I mean, Desi Ward's was my favourite, I think.
Extra time. Likewise.
In extra time.
My favourite too.
Bring me back, lads. When there was no two-pointers, was Desi Ward kicking these one-pointers? I don't remember him kicking scores like this.
You were allowed to shoot.
He's a two-point king, though.
He's unbelievable with two-pointers. Yeah. Well, honestly, I'm going, the one he kicked an extra time, and that was kind of into the breeze. You're like, I don't remember this guy being like that under the old rules. But, like, is there anything, if you're Kieran Meenan and Derry there, and you're the supporters, you're 11 points up in the third quarter, like how did they lose the game? Okay, Monaghan and their two-pointers, is there a bit, looking back, and maybe this is just naturally this happens, you start just drifting back into the centre channel, and you're kind of going, okay, we're not going to see any goals here, we'll be alright, we're that far ahead, we're going to be fine. But the Monaghan do have that record, they're like nearly made, Tommy, they're just, there's teams who are just 2-point dangers, and Monaghan are definitely one of them. you've got to try and push out. But then I'm even looking at the two-pointers. Like Glass is right on Conor McCarthy's boot nearly for that one. Maybe McCarville has a little bit of space, but he's a midfielder. He's out on the right-hand
side. That's a great shot, isn't it?
That's probably one you're going, we're happy enough if he takes that. So, like, is there anything there you can point to and just go, that's why we lost that game?
It's going the other direction that was the problem.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah. Derry do an attack as well. They obviously still score heavily. They score, what, 323. They got, it's hard to criticise them, but a lot of their attacks are very, very samey.
Yeah.
You know, they do the... They hold someone wide, they kind of run
very precise.
And then someone tries to come off them at an angle.
Yeah.
I think Monaghan kind of just figured it out a little bit. They started defending a little bit tighter in the middle and, you know, push onto the weak leg. There's very kind of easy defending points, I reckon, that you can go at that attack.
You can read what they're going to do, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Monaghan just got a handle of them. And that, coupled with the two-pointers and the fact that Derry, without shadow of a doubt, thought they had that game won. Even if it's that 1% in your head that stops you making a run back or a run forward, you don't realise it when you're in it, but that did happen.
The lack of, and I think we saw it a couple of times as well, the lack of ruthless game management in the last 60 seconds too. And I'm sure the clock is moving way slower when you have the ball and way faster when you don't have it. But even on the sideline, like, just don't go back to the corner where your man's going to get trapped by the end line and the sideline. Like, we know they're actually defenders, those two lines. You know, like don't go there. Find somewhere else to go with the ball. Get out of
there. Ethan Doherty is one of the boys you would want on the ball in that position. 100%. It's probably not his fault. You're looking at somebody else has to get over to him. We're going, can we get Conor Glass or Brendan Rodgers or just another key player? Just give him a dig out. Because it is literally, you know, 20 seconds here. You know, I do get it when it's on the line and Monaghan are desperate. That can seem like a long time, but Ethan Doherty's probably one of the players you want on it. And even still, lads, it's harsh on Derry. We're kind of picking holes in them. Like, they're literally a second away from winning this game. Yeah. And it's one moment.
We would still say
incredible skill to, or it would be Derry in the Ulster final. You know,
we still said they kind of fell over the line though, wouldn't we? But did you see, if you think about then, right, they drew the game, they still have 20 minutes to win the game.
Yeah.
You know, go out and win it again, which is hard, I admit it, right? But Glass inside in the goals, I don't know if you just see the camera kind of lingers.
Yeah. Hanging on the net.
Glass, he stays there. He's devastated. He's like, you know, and I could just tell the body language maybe by the Derry fellas, the heads kind of were like, fuck, we're after seriously making a mistake here.
Contrasted to the Monaghan boys, right? This is them sprinting off, right? Watch this. And I know you're talking about with Conor Glass, but look at the sprint into the dressing room. That's like Clifford at halftime of the All-Ireland final, running in and bringing... Look at the energy there. Look at the energy going in.
Sheer adrenaline.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have ran up Cairn Toole after doing that. Ran. I mean, I can't
imagine. He got four tackles in on the way into the dressing room. Like, his stats are off the charts. Like,
I got to mention
five seconds sprint.
His GPS is smoke coming out of it.
Unbelievable.
We've mentioned an awful lot of absolutely top tier Division One Monaghan footballers who have been involved the last couple of years. We didn't even mention, you know, Micheál Bannigan or Stephen O'Hanlon that much earlier on, but. You know, so many good performances. But I got to mention two of the kids, two of the younger fellas. They're in their early 20s that come off the bench. Oisin O'Gorman and Bobby McCall. O'Gorman got stuck in and he was winning breaking ball and coming off the shoulder and brought energy. And I just thought Bobby McCall, the big man in around full forward, went into the throw-ins with Glass. He was such a scourge as well. And like for Monaghan, in terms of playing population, they're obsessed with football. But there's one of the smaller counties in the country. They have footballers coming out of their arse pocket, constantly developing quality footballers. So, savage stuff from Monaghan. Ulster final in Clonus. I'll be covering that one for Off the Ball. They're up against Armagh. Will we stay with Ulster and get to Leinster maybe in a couple of minutes? Let's stay with Armagh.
I think they
put up a record score in Ulster football last week and they go and beat the record this week. Kieran McGeaney was talking afterwards, feeling sorry for Down, just how tired they were 7 days on from taking down Donegal. It was a mammoth task for Down. And once the first 15 minutes kind of went by, they missed the goal chance, started kicking a couple of wides. Armagh showed their class, didn't they?
It was exactly what didn't happen in the Donegal game, Tom. Do you know when, like, everything went for them in the first 5 or 10, and next thing they realised, we're in this game. And it didn't happen. Armagh were so clinical. Every single time they went forward, they seemed to just hand pass it over the bar. I know I give all about him passing over the bar, but geez, it's another little, you know, dagger in them. And they kept at it, so clinical. It was just, it was different levels. I do, you know, take on that point that down emotionally, very hard to get back up again for another game like that. And that's Ulster Championship. It's so difficult. But if you're talking about the class of team, Armagh looked streets ahead. And then obviously you're talking about one of your main players in Down with Haverhill, just had a day to scratch off in front of the post. He just did not get going at all. And if you're so reliant on one of those shooters, he just had that off day.
Did you think it was like, is that fatigue? Is that like, I'm going to get to it in the Loud Dublin game, how tense and off it the Loud boys felt or seemed. And I think a lot of credit to go to Dublin for that. But what was up there with Down shooting?
I mean, fatigue, I don't know, does fatigue fall into that category? Like, I can say that fatigue would affect your decision-making mentally. I could see it affecting your reaction time. Maybe you're running back not enough, or maybe supporting energy runs are a little bit off it. In terms of actually shooting, it shouldn't be affected. So I don't know what happened to them, but I mean, they had an absolute meltdown in front of the post. And I know myself from being on teams like that, if you're missing, it's such a downer for everybody in that stadium. You feel it the most after missing. You feel like everyone is looking at you if you're after missing three or four. It's such a downer. It's hard to do anything right after that. But then your team also feel it because they have to defend more. They're getting no reward for all the work they're doing. Your support, they're feeling it, and they're letting you know, and it's kind of a big sigh in the crowd. It just all adds up. And it actually, missing contributes to the rest of the fatigue in the other parts of the game. Then 100%. It actually adds on to it.
100%.
But I don't know, does your actual pulling the trigger, I don't know, could you blame fatigue on that part?
Okay. Paddy, it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. But you are now the man in Gaelic games who decides the fate of every other county with the draw. You are tasked.
I'm not doing the draw. I host the draw.
You host the draw.
I don't put my hands in the ball. I leave that. I don't pick out the balls.
Gary
Lineker. So who was it last? Tom Ryan did it last week for the Tadna Cup. And in the morning, or lunchtime tomorrow, myself and the great Armagh man, Jarlath Burns, will be doing the draw for the championship.
We'll go through a breakdown of the All-Ireland series in a couple of minutes. But the Tadna Cup draw, the headline news is here. Westmeath, in case you've been living under a rock today, bet Kildare after extra time. So Down, after taking down Donegal last week, are into the Tadna Cup. That's a massive blow, right? Because Mark McHugh, we heard him afterwards saying, I put it to the boys, and I don't know what you think it is. Do you want to play Leitrim next week, or do you want to play Dublin? Because that's the draw. Down against Leitrim, rather than an Ulster final.
Yeah, it's hard. It's going to be very hard to get up for that. I mean, they're playing Donegal, Armagh, everything on the line, and then they're going back to the Tailteann. And now there's going to be that question. I think, did someone say it on one of the channels about the question of the states and all that? Now is going to come up again. And are fellas eligible to go to America after playing Ulster Championship?
I haven't gone to America in 13 years.
The only thing you'd say with Conor Lennon in that group.
I must check that.
Yeah,
I haven't checked the visa rules for football.
They might have the same 15 for the Tailteann. That's the thing.
Oh,
the only thing, Jimmy, you'd say, but Conor Lavery seems to have massive buy-in. Like, it was only literally this time last week, 7 days, we're talking about how committed they all are, the journey they're on, they're promoted to Division 2, they pick up one of the shocks of the championship. You'd hope that it's not easy. It's definitely not. They're setting their sight, particularly if you beat Donegal, you're like, we're going to try and win the Anglo-South here. And now it's a massive blow, but you would think that they can try and regroup and try and win that Tailteann Cup. I would feel they're the strongest team in that now, in that competition. I just think you can't get away from it. Whatever the technical shooting with Haverhill today, yeah, you can have days like that. But like, even the first 10 minutes, they don't start really, really well. Daniel Guinness scores from the throw-up, Aura Murdoch and his battle with Tiernan Kelly. And you just think, like I was pitch side for Armagh the week before. and they scored 232. So just that, 232 last week, 333 today. Jesus Christ. But they looked unbelievably slick in attack. Again, and it was against Fermanagh. Okay. But they were nearly like another 90s reference here. Did you ever watch the Mighty Ducks, lads? Back in the day? Yeah, the flying V. I'm not getting a turnover. And there's like 10 of them just up the pitch. So hard to play against.
Tomás McCormick's goal
last week. Yeah. Today, but even just in Brewster Park last week, just seeing it, just like, Jesus, that is a handful to defend against. And they got it going today. But they don't start really well. And you're just thinking, we've seen it last year. Remember Tyrone beat Donegal and Ballybuffet in the first round of the All-Ireland series, and then I reference this game a lot because it was, again, pit side for the following week. They played Mayo and Omagh and they were wiped. They were terrible. Mayo just ran over them.
Yeah.
Malik O'Rourke said it. I've said this numerous times on it, reference this interview. It's like, we didn't change anything. We just could not reach the pitch of this game. We put so much physical and mental energy into beating Donegal that we're just flat the following week. And that's what it looked like with Conor Laverty and Dale today. It's so hard. The emotional energy that goes into beating, causing a massive upset like that, to try and back that up 7 days later, what would have been another massive upset, really. Like, I know they beat Donegal, but everyone is looking at Armagh going to get the job done here. And they start really well, but then Armagh get that running game going, and you're just a little percent off. You said it last week, Tommy, referencing Dublin, the Wicklow game. You're a little bit off it at this level. Even if there's gaps between the divisions, if you're sloppy, you can be punished. And Armagh, with the way they play, and Down just kind of hitting the skids after 15, 20 minutes of that game today, it was a bloodbath. And it's such a hard place for Conor Laverty and those Down players, because the high that they would have been on and the effort that went into winning that game against Donegal, to lose by nearly, 30 points today, you know, live in the Sunday game, you're into the Tailteann Cup now, it feels like it's very unfair. But if you're looking ahead with Armagh, McGeaney hasn't won the Ulster title, those players haven't won the Ulster title, they won the All-Ireland, all right, but winning the Anglo-South would be massive for them. And like, to put up the scores they're putting up against us, like seeing them in person there, it is impressive. You turn the ball over, if you lose a kick out against them, you are under severe pressure. The athleticism, the speed, the power they're playing at, they look a real, real handful. And poor Down today, Jesus, they just had absolutely no answer.
Clonus is going to be absolutely unbelievable. I'm covering it that day for Off the Ball, Monaghan, Armagh, Ulster final. Darren McMullen.
Definitely.
Was brilliant. Yeah. I think we saw, James, you mentioned Rory Began and his influence on the kickout, which was key in Monaghan's comeback. Ronan Burns, who has got so many plaudits, rightfully so, for all his attributes and goals, comes out for a kickout. He's in no man's land. Darren McMullen breezes by him and plays the ball in for Conor Turbitt to get a goal, which is a crucial goal really in the game. It was Armagh's second. Blaine Hughes had a phenomenal game as well. Kickouts, left foot, right foot. I think he had 98% retention. Huge in the new rules. But up top, Keane McConville, thought he pulled the strings, 3 points. Mm-hmm. Connerty, 5 points. Conor Turbitt, 2-5. Ross McQuillan pulled out with an injury, dropped out of the panel before the game. Joe McElroy come in. There's serious depth in this Armagh team, isn't there?
There is. But yeah, you're still looking at those. Like, they're big names. I mean, Turbitt, even when Turbitt was coming on in a couple of the National League games, you could tell he was adding so much to that side. Connolly is still such a threat. I thought McCormack's goal was actually an outstanding goal. Was it?
Yeah.
He was cut off. I think he was cut off by McAvoy. He came in with a massively strong arm and he bounced off him. Absolutely no problem. And hit a low finish into the corner. It was just a great, great goal. Obviously, then the goal where the keeper gets cut out. You know, I don't know. If you're going to be going up and contesting those kickouts, you'd want to really be competent in the air, and as well, you need to be competent on the ground as well, because the tackle that he puts in, then, you know, like, he's obviously not used to tackling. He just breezes past him, and it's a goal at the end of it. If you contrast that to Began's kind of input, where he can tackle, he can dictate, he can feel,
I remember Began with Paddy Lynch there a couple of years ago running after him in the Ulster chapter first round. Began, if he wins the first phase, he's sensational, like we've seen last night. I think if the goalkeeper doesn't win that first ball, he's under the pump no matter who he is. One thing on Armagh, just an interesting thing, and the goalkeeper situation, we kind of spoke about it through the league as well. Rafferty gets the nod the last day against Fermanagh and was brilliant. Brilliant. Bit ropey at the very his initial couple of kickouts, but then has perfect after that. His influence on the ball from play, and then Blaine Hughes is back in today. Sensational performance. You're kind of, what is McGeady, what's he thinking? Is it going to give them each a go? It's getting to the stage now, Ulster final. There's no messing around there. We went to the All-Ireland series. It's hard to know. Like, it's...
Did
he speak about it after, or was he asked about it, Tommy, or did we see?
I think he sees different games for different goalies. I don't think he's set on who he wants. They can offer different things, definitely.
Yeah, they're so different.
They are very different. In fairness to Blaine Hughes, his kickouts, and all through the league, they were, if you looked at any of the stats on their own kickout, Armagh were streets ahead of everyone. So I think that Blaine Hughes' kickouts are probably better, but Rafferty offers
different things,
obviously, physically and aerially, and even probably coming out for those kickouts.
Yeah.
The positive thing on them, though, like Connolly and Turbert are the two, have lots of depth. Lots of similar type players, nearly like Tyrone back in the day at their best. These really fast athletic players, but their stardust players are Turbot and Connolly. Yeah. And Turbot's kind of in and out of the team, with injuries. I'm talking, but right up front in terms of real scoring threat. Connolly was probably had a little bit of a dip towards the end of the league, but to be fair, that's the beauty of maybe getting big wins like this and scoring 232 and 333. That those two boys individually have racked up big scores as well. And the confidence, you know it, lads. You score like Turbo 2-5 or 5 points today. I think Kennedy got 5 against Fermanagh as well the last day. That just gives you a real confidence in your play. And if Armagh are going to get the job done in 2 weeks' time, I expect they will, and go on and then move on to the prize and the biggest prize, you feel like Kennedy and Turbo are there too. It's like they're David Clifford and Shawnee Shea, you know, they're the key guys up front for Armagh, and those guys getting back into form, and Armagh now being in an Ulster final and not playing against Donegal in it, although they're playing a home team in Monaghan, it feels like it definitely has been a very, very good couple of weeks for that group of players after a bumpy league where they nearly relegated on the last day. And much like Monaghan's season has turned around in the couple of weeks after that, Armagh are in a really good place. And today was just, when they get going, they are an awesome, awesome team.
Just one last thing, Tom, because I know you want to move on from this game. But if you look at the difference in mentality between Armagh and Derry, right? Armagh just wanted to get the next score, next score, next score, next score, next score. Like, even after Turbot's goal, Connolly gets a point. He gets a great point off his right just from central enough, and the camera goes to him afterwards and he's fist pumping. They were 8 or 9 points up at this stage, but it's all about the next one. He wanted the next one, and even when they got into the right place, we give all the hand passing over the bar, they were just clinical, over the bar, next ball. I think that was the mindset that Derry were missing, where instead of going for the jugular and keep on and on and on and on and on, they just took the foot off the gas. But Armagh are just an example over that. It's actually great to see.
Yeah, no, it was very impressive. And as Paddy mentioned, the scores they've racked up in back-to-back games, the options they have in goals, the depth out the field, they are right in contention again. Chasing that elusive Ulster title under Kieran McGeaney, but Monaghan, as we know, will have plenty to say in Clonus in 2 weeks' time. Just to mention the Talchin Cup games this weekend, 7 of the games are this weekend. Fermanagh Longford is Sunday, Laois Wicklow Sunday, Clare Offaly on Saturday, Carlow up against Antrim on Sunday, Wexford up against Limerick on Saturday, Sligo against Tip, and Waterford London on Sunday. And then Conor Laverty's Down will be up against Stephen Poacher's Leitrim. So if the Down lads are looking for any motivation, they're facing their fellow county man, Stephen Poacher, on the 16th and 17th of May. So that'll be an interesting game as well. And Leitrim, obviously, after putting in a very good performance against Galway. Just to mention, we'll be back with the Leinster football semi-finals. I was in Port Laois to watch the Dubs put in such a mature and clinical performance, and Westmeath and Kildare played out a very interesting semi-final today as well. We'll be back talking that and the All-Ireland Series draw in a minute. But in case you didn't know, we also have a hurling equivalent to the football pod, the Hurling Pod, with Will O'Callaghan, James Skehill and Paul Murphy, comes packed with analysis I think Will wrote this, big talking points and plenty of bite. From championship look-aheads to post-match breakdowns and the stories that matter in the world of hurling, it's all covered every week. Just search for the Hurling Pod in the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. Paddy Andrews, you should be doing this stuff as well. You're hosting plenty of stuff too. James, we've got to get you on hosting duties, not just the Monday Minute. We're back.
You got a brown envelope over that.
Monday Minute with Jimmy. I'll mention the pod during the draw tomorrow morning on The View, just so they can't edit it out. Right, as Jarlett's speaking, I'll just come in.
I want to hear
the football pod.
Big fan of the pod, Jarlett, by all accounts.
He is. Jarlett does listen to the pod.
Friend
lads.
Of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Good evening, Jarlett.
The football pod is back right after this.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the football pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Paddy, I have a theory as to what Dublin's secret was on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
In their takedown of Loud. What were you impressed with and what did you enjoy? Because I know you couldn't make it to Port Leash. You were hoping to, but you couldn't make it on Saturday evening.
I was meant to be working, yeah. So I got to watch it on the laptop at home instead.
Would have been a great day to work.
I would have enjoyed it. I was actually really looking forward to going down anyway because I thought it actually wasn't a great game.
No.
as a spectacle. But the best thing about Dublin yesterday, their application and their attitude without the ball was exceptional for the entire match. And I said it the day after we were recording the Wicklow game where the performance was just nowhere near good enough. Wicklow should have beaten them. That's the reality of it. It was just so far below the standards of any Dublin team and they got away with one. So you kind of expected, and this is the danger now for the Rossies going into the Connacht final against Galway this week, because I think Pádraig Joyce is going to give them a similar kick in the hole after their performance against Leitrim. But you expected a reaction from Dublin after the Wicklow game. And the big thing I was saying was, Jer is the manager for the next whatever 3 or 4 years, and he'll have a role in bringing through the likes of Theo Clancy and Charlie McMorrow and Luke Brannock and Nathan Dorn and all these younger guys, and that's fine, that needs to happen. Those guys are on their journey and they're good players and they'll have ups and downs, and they've had ups and downs already in their very short-lived inter-county career, but that's more longer term. The success and failure over the next 8 weeks, you know, 2026 season, the next 2 months, Dublin's success or failure is going to be based on Davy Byrne, Merchant, Brian Howard, Kieran, Scully, Khan, Costello, Pascal. The guys who've been there and won loads of All-Irelands. And my big question mark for them was, yeah, long-term is great. I mean, Dublin have a big, big task, and Jer, and whoever the manager is down the road, has a task to bring through these guys. But the here and now, their success is based on these guys. And if they're not at it, and they don't fancy it, and they're kind of looking around going, do you know what, I don't really need this, then Dublin will, Loud would have beaten them, and Dublin season is gone. But I think, to a man, I thought they were all exceptional last night, setting the tone. I thought Niall Scully, I thought he was Dublin's best player in the league, he absolutely dominated that game. Kieran Kilkenny out of midfield is just like, he's just a pig of a man, like, in terms of just fighting for the ball, like all the things you'd question about a guy, if he's hungry or not, and he did this in Salt Hill last year. Remember, he's man of the match when they beat Galway as well. He was just, I'm ready for this. Costello took on the burden of Khan being injured. Davy Byrne had his best game defensively. Merchant was injured, and that's the challenge, you know, these guys are minds on the clock, and this might be a challenge as Dublin get into the All-Ireland series. But last night was a big test for all those guys, and I thought they set the tone, and Dublin without the ball, just Loud were bad. No way around it. They go 25 minutes without scoring, 28% scoring efficiency. It was horrible to watch from Loud. They were terrible. But Dublin played and made them play like that. So just a total change in attitude and application from Dublin, what we've seen the last day. And there were glimpses of it in the league, first half against Armagh, first half against Galway on the last day of the league, and they just ran out of puff, whereas last night they managed to keep it going. And with the ball, it was boring to watch, not great for the neutrals, but they got their rest when they were in possession, and that allowed them, when the ball was turned over, they just hounded Loud all over the pitch. And it was a really, really, it was Dublin's best display in a long, long time, albeit against a Loud team that just were not at the races.
I just pick up on one thing you said there about Scully. He did. Scully is playing fantastic.
Sensational football.
And 11, yeah. 11 seems to suit him because he can kind of follow the ball a bit more than 10. At 10, you're kind of saying, what are you doing over a 12? Get out of my spot. Whereas 11, you can kind of interfere with every position on the half line. But like, I don't know, Lowe left him off for far too long. In the end, he was hammering outside of the boots from left to right. He was just practicing his outside of the boot. I was nearly going to, I was showing it to TV. I was like, will you mark him? Like, it was too easy for him.
He will be picked up in more games from now on.
I know, but this is a big game for Lowe. Like, they should have stepped up on him. And it was too easy. And honestly, think back now, Paddy. If a fellow was playing against you and they were standing in the middle of the field hammering outside of the boots around the place, somebody would kill him. Do you know?
But he's standing still with the ball about four or five times. Yeah. Him, Bugler and Kieran Kilkenny, a particular first half against them, Dublin did this against Kerry in the league. Remember Jimmy, we're down Tralee two seasons ago, playing against the Gaffer, just stand still and keep the ball and kill the clock. And I couldn't get over Loud just watching it.
Accepting it,
It was crazy stuff, yeah.
But Tommy, you said you had a theory. What's your theory?
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said. I actually thought some of the younger lads from Dublin, McMorrow, Kennedy.
Really good. Really, really good.
Really caught the eye, yeah. As well as all the kind of stalwarts. But I was there. I was keeping stats during the game. And Paddy, I had that kind of less than 30% shooting accuracy. Absolutely wiped on kickouts. Yeah. And for a minute, I was like, okay, yeah, Loud look tense. They look like they're playing as favourites. They look like the weight of a Leinster title was weighing on them. But I was like, it's more than that. Right, because Dublin's improvement from the Wicklow game to today, there's something else going on here, and I didn't twig it until after I'd done my post-match interviews. It kind of annoyed me. I caught Niall Scully, caught Dean Rock afterwards, who was stepping in for Ger Brennan and Gavin Devlin, and then I copped it. Ger Brennan brought about 22 members of Loud's 2025 backroom team with him to Dublin for this season. And they're not all named, right? But there's James Downey, there's Niall Moyna, there's all the analysts, there's video analysts. His entire backroom, and I know a lot of them worked in UCD before, but like that, like as you'll know yourselves as prepping to play different teams, that must have helped an awful lot in terms of how they absolutely destroyed the Loud kickout, how they absolutely shut them down in attack. Paddy, because it wasn't just wides. Loud had 9 shots that were either blocked or dropped short. And that was from the savage pressure the Dubs are putting on their shooters. Can you just talk a little bit about the preparation that might go into a game like that? Because Dublin were just so on it in that regard.
I don't think that before you answer that, Paddy, I don't think Dublin got too obsessed with Loud at all. Like, even you can see by the way they picked up Mulroy, the way that there was that rotating kind of marker on him. Like, to me, that's almost evidence that they didn't get obsessed with Loud at all. I think what Dublin went at was obviously the kickouts. You're right with that. But the tackling, the level of tackling was way ahead of Division 2, way ahead of what Loud could deal with. And it made a lot of the Loud fans look very green.
Dublin had 16 turnovers last night. It's their highest of the season so far. We've seen it in glimpses. I thought the first half, I go back to that game, the final game of the league where Dublin get relegated. The first half in Salt Hill, they bully Galway. They absolutely hound them all over the pitch. And Dublin brought that for the full 70 minutes. And I remember that final day of the league because on TV beforehand was Kildare versus Loud. And Loud were very clinical, beat Kildare down in Newbridge. Kildare got relegated. But the change in intensity of both those games, they were on one after another. It was a completely different level. And Dublin just brought Division 1, I know they're relegated, but they brought Division 1 intensity to that game all over the pitch from all their players, not just the younger guys, it was across the board. You look at Killian McGuinness coming back, he didn't get many scores, but guys, just if Dublin did turn the ball over, and they're very good in possession, like I say, long phases of possession, maybe not a lot happening, but if it was turned over, they were ravenous hunting Loud down. And to your point, Tommy, what would they have done in the last couple of weeks? They would have looked at Loud, respect them, obviously. Cormac Costello spoke afterwards and he was getting man of the match, and it was the day after they played Wicklow, they would have sat down and got an absolute hiding from the management team, from themselves to each other. It was just so far, I can't get over that, how unacceptable that performance was from them. And as he mentioned in his post-match feckin' award speech last night, we all had a bit of a cut off each other and we just said, we need to up the levels here. So there was a little bit of his Loud that they would have looked at what's happening there, but Dublin were going to come and just flat to the mat, whoever they were playing last night. And this is the challenge from going forward. You know, they're going to be back red-hot favourites against Westmeath in a couple of weeks.
They've been inconsistent. Scully was chatting with you, Tommy, afterwards. He said that himself. What did he say? We had a couple of brutal performances in the league. But that's what's happened. They've had these moments where they're really good and then terrible the next day. If this is going to be a successful season, what was delivered last night needs to be every match going forward. And it's hard to tackle at that intensity. The hunger was there. And it's easy to get the finger out when everyone was told you you're shite for 2 weeks. You know, everyone's going to be patting them all on the back now for the next couple of weeks. So, credit for last night, but there's bigger days ahead for them. Like,
I did say, I think it was last week, the week before, when we were doing a preview, I said that Dublin can get to that level of intensity quicker and like a tap that like other teams can't get there. I would still put a pin, not a pin in their balloon to an extent, but quality wise, they're still not there. Like the game the last day was a bit like a soccer match. Dublin just possessioned Louth out of the game, starved them of the ball. And then when Louth did get it, Dublin were just far too active in their tackling and far too strong and aggressive. Louth weren't used to that. Do you remember Louth scored a goal in the National League, Tom, where they had two or three kick passes?
Mm.
And you were saying it was the best against goal they've ever scored. And I was saying it was completely unrealistic. I think it's never going to happen.
Calvin and Breffney Parker.
Yeah, it was never going to happen in a real game. Like, Dublin were just, for every scrap, they were hounding. And Louth couldn't live with it. But even up the other end, I'm not sure is the quality there. It's obviously developing, but it's not there yet. But in terms of who did have the quality was Costello. And in fairness to Costello, he looked, even in the warm-up before the game, the camera kept going to him because obviously he'd been subbed in for a con. He looked so tuned in. He looked so... He just looked like a fella who was ready to go. Do you not agree?
No, he scored 10 points. He was amazing. Like, he was great. But he fucking two goal chances where it was a 5-on-1. He taps them over the bar. Because he probably should have gotten a goal there. But anyway, he was brilliant to me. You're right, because he's had a tough... He's been injured... He has miles on the clock. He's a couple of young babies at home. I can hardly stay awake doing the pod, so I can only imagine him. But I was delighted for him because without Conn, and Paddy Small again, now it's customary with Paddy Small, he got a little bit of a knock, or hopefully it was just cramp and went off. He backed up his Louth performance. But without Conn, a lot of Dublin supporters going into Portlaoise and just watching at home were thinking, oh no, like this was a tough game, but we don't lose this way. Where the score is going to come from? And because he stood up and hit 10 points. Like that is some going, to be fair to him. Like, say, hasn't had the best season in and out of the team and the body is kind of acting up, but to stand up and deliver that when there's pressure on. And you could see it in his reaction after scores, you know, he's giving fist bumps and giving it to the lads and stuff. There was just a mindset across the whole Dublin team last night. And when they needed scores, he showed his quality, which we know he has. He's had that since he was 15 years of age. So I was delighted to see it. The WhatsApp was hopping from the older players, you know, because he's rolling back the years. It was great to see. So
he kind of wants to.
But on your point, Jimmy, like,
doesn't he?
Like, Dublin aren't back here. Like, good performance last night and put Louth to the sword. They'll be favourites to win the Delaney Cup in a few weeks' time, despite what Mark McHugh was doing with that Westmeath team. But like, they're still don't have them as all Ireland contenders. You know, they've answered a couple of questions, you know. Their backs were to the wall after what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And they'll get better, like all the other teams throughout the championship. But I still don't have them in the All-Ireland mix. You know, last night, like, it was a game that they were dominant in against a team that just were not at the races at all. And this was Louth, for all the success they've had and winning the Leinster Championship last year, they're still a team that didn't get out of Division 2. So there needs to be a bit of... And Dublin won't be getting carried away with that, but I don't think... podcasts and media should be looking at this going, Jesus, the Dubs are roaring back into the All-Ireland race after that win last night. There's still loads and loads of question marks.
That was kind of part of my point with the entire backroom team being just so ready to take Louth apart, was that I don't know if we'll get a proper read on Dublin until the All-Ireland series. Like, they're going to be so comfortable in this Leinster final against Westmeath. They're 1-8 favourites. It would be... the shock of all shocks if Westmeath without Luke Loughlin was to take him down.
And back at Croke Park as well.
Like, looking at the numbers, lads, it would. Like, notwithstanding, there's a lot of quality in this young Westmeath team. Let's get to that. And James, I'm going to start with you.
that can of boomers there, Jimmy.
Westmead. Westmead had a couple of kind of setbacks in this game. Matthew Whitaker goes off injured. He comes back on later on and plays a key role, but obviously a key man. Luke Loughlin's wearing an orange bib on the sideline beside Mark McHugh. But they got a run around the 20th minute where Kildare had kind of opened up a bit of a lead, but were leaving a bit behind them. And we just saw Westmead in their flow, that bit of freedom you've spoken about. Mm-hmm. What impressed you about Westmead across the afternoon today? Because they have made it against the odds to the Leinster final in really impressive fashion.
Do you know what impressed me is going back to the previous point we made, was that they were able to kind of add another performance onto their initial performance. Like, that would have been hard, obviously, with that great win. Losing Luke Loughlin, you know, is a donor. The whole group would have felt this. I've been in dressing rooms where you've had an injury like that. I think it came out that it was a four or something. So there's not many fours, B or whatever, hamstring tears, but that would have rocked the group.
That's half the bone job, isn't it? Like that, isn't that?
I'm not sure. Yeah, but it seems bad. But he seemed good. He didn't seem that bad on the sideline.
He was moving. He was on the sideline anyway. He was there. So,
like, so for him to be missing was obviously massive for them. But again, the level of intensity they got to, and in fairness to Kildare got to, they were both giving the ball away for fun. For absolute fun. Just hand passing it away. But in fairness, that's because both teams were hounding and in your face and everything was up for grabs. Everything was contested. I'll bring it back to that league game I saw between Tyrone and Cork above in Tyrone. And nothing was contested between the 45s. This game was such contrast to that. Pure championship game. Everything was just contested. And then they got the little bit of momentum. They got the couple of scores. And in Brendan Kelly, I thought they had a great performer.
Yeah.
Looks very, very lively. What age is Brendan Kelly, actually, Tom? Would you know that off the top of your head?
24, I'd have 24, to guess.
Yeah.
24,
yeah. Yeah, like he's been around, but I thought he was outstanding. And then the couple of two-pointers in the second half of the Sam McCartan got from the two frees from miles out.
Yeah.
And it just, like, every point was really hard to come by at the time. And Kildare, you know, they were kind of starting to work some scores with McCormack and they were just getting back into the game. But those two pointers just seemed to give them a little bit of life when they needed it. And I'm delighted they're in the final. I think they are the better team out of them and Kildare. And if they can go
into that Dublin game. Isn't it though, Jimmy? It's tight, like.
It's very
tight. They did a brilliant championship game last year as well, and Kildare nicked it by a point or two down in the last quarterfinal. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that they're so sticky at the back. Everything is just at pace. I always say, you know, everyone says the word intensity, but like intensity is just speed. You're sprinting to the tackle, you're making contact, you're sprinting to the next tackle. In attack, you're sprinting off the shoulder, taking on your man. I just think that McHugh has brought that level of sprinting and intensity into Westmead. And I don't know, is it going to be enough to match Dublin's? Because Dublin's intensity, if we keep using that word, is so, you know, experienced. It's been there so many times and they'll be brilliant at it. But Westmead's freedom then on top is going to be what's dangerous.
McHugh did speak to us about that. I don't know if you remember a roadshow last summer, but McHugh did speak to us that night about that intensity and trying to bring it.
At the Crow Park one?
Yeah, with Donny. Bring it and fuse it into the group. I suppose the foundations of his development as a footballer.
Was he on that show?
Yeah. Where he was pushed to breaking point as a player himself and obviously had injuries too. But I don't know, looking to try and develop an extra bit of hardiness amongst a very talented group. And it looks like they've done that. And I impressed with the manner in which they exhibited some of their skills going forward at times today. But I just thought Ray Kinnellan's first point today just set the tone. Like, Kildare got 2 points. The two young fellas, Cully and Loakman, and Kinnellan just comes forward and bombs over a beauty off the left. They don't have a left-footed free taker. Oh, wait, Kinnellan's stepping up to take it in Loughlin's absence and nails that free early doors. I thought he just settled them early on, Ray Kinnellan, and is such a huge footballer for them, obviously.
But you know what was like a contrast there? And you mentioned the two boys, Sam McCartan, I think, did he have 5 or 6 points? And then Brandon Kelly, obviously, with 1-4. We know Loughlin's probably their best four, but just that little bit of composure and clout. Like, this was a really tight game. It was a really entertaining game. Obviously, went to the wire in extra time. But quality-wise, it was probably a bit sloppy. on both sides. But the little bit of just class, little bit of composure when the opportunities came up, the likes of McCartan or Brandon Kelly, Raikkonen was probably quiet, you know, by his standards, but had moments in the game. And you look at the other end of the pitch, and I know Alex Byrne comes on for Kildare. He gets, there's another buzzer beater, you know, the hooter again with the last play, 26-7 extra time. Brilliant leadership, kind of going, come on, give me the ball. He's their best forward. Kildare probably missed him from the start. But, you know, you look, did Kildare have chances to win that game? They did. And this is not a new thing. Under Brian Flanagan's tenure, we've seen this going back with Kildare over the last 5, 6, 10 years. They leave a lot of scores out on the pitch, and today was no different again. And it's just, you just can't get away with it. As these games, they get tighter and tighter. The further you go in the championship, the margin for error is so small. You have guys, and I don't like going into individuals on this, but there's guys who just, you can't rely on them in front of the post. And there was moments there towards the end of the second half, in extra time as well. You've got to nail those scores. And you felt Westmeath just had that. Westmeath's scores became a little bit easier. They were a bit more clinical. Still not perfect, but Kildare's oldest failings. They created enough chances to win the game. Plenty of heart, all that stuff. But you can't win tight championship games if you keep missing really, really, you know, strong scoring opportunities. And it's a tough, I'm frustrated looking at them, and I'm a neutral in this, so I can only imagine what Kildare supporters are feeling like. It would have been a big win for them to get to the Leinster final, you know, after a disappointing league campaign. But you have to go on the flip side, the more so at the top of this show, we're talking about Monaghan bouncing back from a league campaign from hell in terms of losing all 7 games. Westmeath, Mark McHugh told us this, and we know this, like, a massive emphasis on getting promoted to Division 2. And you go 7 games over 2 months, or probably 2 months extra training, 2 months of games, and the last kick of the entire campaign prevents you from going up down in Wexford Park. And that could have, that would set a lesser team back. That could have derailed the entire season, and was made of won 3 championship matches on the spin. And they've played some serious football to do that, racking up scores against Longford, massive win against Meath. And now with the expectation on them today, they come out in the battle as well. So what Mark McHugh and those players deserve, incredible credit, because that season, only 5, 6 weeks ago, could have been down the toilet, and now they're in a Leinster final against Dublin. Yeah. So,
James,
harsh on Kildare, but massive credit to Westmeath.
James, I'm going to let you go now. Just a last word, if you're still with us. We've got a provincial final next weekend in Killarney. We've also got Roscommon against Galway in the Hyde. Kerry are at home for their provincial final. Roscommon are at home as well. Sells Killarney next weekend for Kerry Cork.
I'm sick of talking about Kerry Cork. I've been speaking about it to people for the last week. It's like, it's just going to be a great day. It's going to be proper Cork down in droves, thinking they're going to win. And Kerry are going to have to come up with something, because obviously they have a lot of injuries, and Cork going to be putting Kerry under pressure. But look, it's Kerry's record down in Killarney, and it would be awful to lose it. So I think it's going
to
be
injuries, though, Jimmy. The injuries.
Nah, I still think Kerry
come back to bite them.
I think Kerry level enough. I think our big players should stand up and deliver with at home with that record. So
fair enough.
Will Cork have a better chance though than they have now, with the momentum they have behind them? Kerry, injuries, all that type of stuff.
This is the one for Cork.
That's what I mean. This is their best chance.
That's why the Kerry dressing would be hopping.
Do you know what? let's try and catch up a little later in the week. James, you've got well-earned Sunday points to get there. Go enjoy them. Likewise. And tell everyone.
Good night, Jimmy. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you soon. Be good. Paddy, just to linger on the draw for tomorrow. So we have, you're going to be doing this draw at 1 o'clock. Just to give people an overview for it, we've got 8 teams in pot one, which are the provincial finalists: Armagh, Monaghan, Cork, Kerry, Dublin, Westmeath, Galway, Roscommon. Those 8 teams will be drawn against any of the unseeded teams. They'll be at home against one of Cavan, Derry, Donegal, Louth, Meath, Mayo, Kildare, or Tyrone. So that's the draw. You'll be putting it together. I think we're going to get some spicy pairings.
Oh, and, yeah, we will.
you know, we've got a Connacht final this weekend too as well. Where do you think we're going to get the better game? Do you think we're going to get a good game at Roscommon and Galway too?
I think the provincial finals are going to be brilliant. I think both the this weekend's final will be better. I was hoping, I have to say, hand on heart, I thought we might see an Armagh Derry final. No disrespect to Monaghan. Up now, I think Clonus is going to be sellout. Monaghan at home, huge crowd, a bit of momentum behind them. But I think Derry Armagh probably would have been maybe a better game. I thought Dublin Meath could have been a brilliant Leinster final, but it's Dublin Westmeath. So I think the provincial championships have been brilliant. So over the last couple of weekends, but I think this weekend's two finals, I think the game in the Hyde is set up to be spectacular. Galway are going to have, well, Pádraig Joyce and Galway supporters are going to be looking for a similar reaction to what Dublin gave after their performance against Wicklow. You know, Galway were very similar in that regard against Leitrim, just not hitting anywhere near the standards that we know they're capable of. So Pádraig Joyce is going to look for a massive reaction. They have a great record in the Hyde. But talk about momentum and buzz around Roscommon for that final after the way they dispatched Mayo. I think that's going to be a brilliant, brilliant game. Yeah. And I think Kerry are going to win the Munster final. But I think the context around the game where Kerry, they're not playing at their peak. They don't need to be playing at their peak at this time of the season. We've seen that so many times. And we've seen that obviously last year as well. But a lot of injuries racked up. And the one thing with Cork have always played well against Kerry, even when they're at their lowest ebbs, but they actually have a bit of consistency and momentum behind them this season. They really do. They're playing the rules well in terms of their scores. Obviously, Sherlock and these guys, but they showed to get promotion back to Division 1 that they're kind of a serious outfit again, where they hadn't really been. You know, they were playing Kerry in these games and no one was giving them a chance over the last couple of years, and they pushed them all the way. There's a bit of expectation on Cork to perform down at Fitzgerald Stadium this weekend, and I think that's going to be a good game. I still think Kerry, I wouldn't read too much into their Clare performance. I think they just had to get through that game. I still think they'll put in a big show, but I think these two finals, probably better than the following week's Ulster and Leinster final. It's just exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. And probably, yeah. Who do you think will win the Connacht final?
I just think that one's going down to the wire, Paddy. And I just think Roscommon at home in the Hyde, I think it might be a bit different this time for them. I think it's going to be a plus for them being in the Hyde. It doesn't always work that way in Connacht. Mm. The big teams have good records away from home against each other. I do think Galway are going to pack a punch.
Will we do a little, will we look at these finals?
I think so. I think we try and do it after the draw.
These are big games. And we'll have a little chat about the draw. We'll have a look through the draw and try and pick out some good matches for us.
Lovely. Sounds good, Pat. I might see you in Crow Park tomorrow at some stage, and I'm going to get
you. You're doing another gig, are you? You're some man for the gigs.
Well, the Tatcha Cup launches tomorrow, so I'll be covering that one.
Very good. I'd love to swap lives with Jimmy now and be going out for a few points in Killarney, but I will be going to bed.
Be good. Thanks for today, Paddy.
Thanks. What a great weekend of action, tape. See you during the week.
Super stuff. Thanks, pal, and thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll talk to you later in the week.